Maybe he's lying, Harry said, opening his eyes again. Griphook. Maybe Gryffindor didn't take the sword. How do we know the goblin version of history's right? Does it make a difference? Asked Hermione. Changes how I feel about it, said Harry. He took a deep breath. We'll tell him he can have the sword after he's helped us get into that vault, but we'll be careful to avoid telling him exactly when he can have it. A grin spread slowly across Ron's face. Hermione, however, looked alarmed.
Harry, we can't.
He can have it, Harry went on, after we've used it on all of the Horcruxes. I'll make sure he gets it then. I'll keep my word.
But that could be years, said Hermione.
I know that, but he needn't. I won't be lying.
Really?
Harry met her eyes with a mixture of defiance and shame. He remembered the words that had been engraved over the gateway to Nurmengard. For the greater good. He pushed the idea away. What choice did they have?
I don't like it, said Hermione.
Nor do I, much, Harry admitted.
Well, I think it's genius, said Ron, standing up again. Let's go and tell him.
Back in the smallest bedroom, Harry made the offer, careful to phrase it so as not to give any definite time for the handover of the sword. Hermione frowned at the floor while he was speaking. He felt irritated at her, afraid that she might give the game away. However, Griphook had eyes for nobody but Harry.
I have your word, Harry Potter, that you will give me the sword of Gryffindor if I help you.
Yes, said Harry.
Then shake,
said the goblin, holding out his hand. Harry took it and shook. He wondered whether those black eyes saw any misgivings in his own. Then Griphook relinquished him, clapped his hands together and said,
So, we begin.
It was like planning to break into the ministry all over again. They settled to work in the smallest bedroom, which was kept, according to Griphook's preference, in semi-darkness.
I have visited the Lestrange's vault only once,
Griphook told them.
On the occasion, I was told to place inside it the false sword. It is one of the most ancient chambers. The oldest wizarding families store their treasures at the deepest level, where the vaults are largest and best protected.
They remained shut in the cupboard-like room for hours at a time. Slowly the days stretched into weeks. There was problem after problem to overcome, not least of which was that their store of polyjuice potion was greatly depleted.
There's really only enough left for one of us, said Hermione, tilting the thick mud-like potion against the lamplight.
That'll be enough, said Harry, who was examining Griphook's hand-drawn map of the deepest passageways. The other inhabitants of Shell Cottage could hardly fail to notice that something was going on now that Harry, Ron and Hermione only emerged for mealtimes. Nobody asked questions, although Harry often felt Bill's eyes on the three of them at the table, thoughtful, concerned. The longer they spent together, the more Harry realized that he did not much like the goblin. Griphook was unexpectedly bloodthirsty, laughed at the idea of pain in lesser creatures, and seemed to relish the possibility that they might have to hurt other wizards to reach the Lestrange's vault. Harry could tell that his distaste was shared by the other two, but they did not discuss it. They needed Griphook. The goblin ate only grudgingly with the rest of them. Even after his legs had mended, he continued to request trays of food in his room, like the still-frail Ollivander. Until Bill, following an angry outburst from Fleur, went upstairs to tell him that the arrangement could not continue. Thereafter, Griphook joined them at the overcrowded table, although he refused to eat the same food, insisting instead on lumps of raw meat, roots, and various fungi. Harry felt responsible. It was, after all, he who had insisted that the goblin remain at Shell Cottage so that he could question him. His fault that the whole Weasley family had been driven into hiding, that Bill, Fred, George, and Mr. Weasley could no longer work